You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, November 30th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 183. My name is Rob. Sitting with me here, as usual, is Jason.
Hi.
Hey. Thanksgiving just happened.
Yeah, how'd it go?
Good. It was awesome. Yeah, my son calls it, when is Happy Thanksgiving again? He just calls Thanksgiving Happy Thanksgiving.
It's really cute. Yeah.
When can we celebrate Happy Thanksgiving? Just love that.
Does he call it Merry Christmas?
No, this Happy Thanksgiving, maybe. This Happy Thanksgiving thing is new.
It's so new, I'm this not year? Sure. Okay, all right.
It's the first time he's ever said it.
That's really cute.
But
that's
he's funny. Consistent with it, so it's pretty funny.
Yeah, so recording this before Thanksgiving actually happens.
We're going to have a good day just chilling with some friends.
That's good.
And yeah.
I will not be having a good day just chilling with some friends.
I know.
I'll be driving an hour south to my wife's family's house. And then driving an hour north back to where we live, and then a half an hour north again to my dad's house.
Wow.
So lots of back and forth. And then the next day, we're going to be driving to Southern Illinois to see some other family for the weekend.
Okay.
So it'll be great to see them, but it's just a lot of driving and a lot of time not at home on a 4-day weekend.
And Southern Illinois is the worst. You got to drive down the length of Illinois.
It's like on the freeways, we can do it in like 5.5 hours. So it's a long drive.
Yeah.
It's a long drive.
Yeah. But we're not seeing family on Thanksgiving. Rowan Willer actually coming over.
Oh, yeah.
Just cooking Thanksgiving dinner together, hanging out. And then Friday, my dad's coming down. We're going to go to the Air Zoo with the kids.
I really like the Air Zoo.
Air Zoo's pretty cool.
Have the kids been there?
They have not.
No, so okay.
Josiah will be really excited about it. So,
yeah.
And my dad is a pilot, so he can tell them all about the planes and stuff, so it'll be good.
For listeners, we have basically it's a flight museum of flight here in Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. They call it the Air Zoo.
Because it's Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo Air Zoo, right. It's near the local airport. And it's a cool place. It's a one big building and one smaller building, but just full of airplanes.
Yeah, some really cool stuff. And it's nice. It's like 10 minutes from my house.
So. Yeah, it's neat. It's real neat.
So we're going to do that. And then my mom's family is coming over to our house for a non-Thanksgiving dinner, like a big thing, but we're not going to have turkey again on Saturday. So,
It's
going to be a busy weekend.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So,
I discovered today, because I was looking at today when we're recording this, I was looking at the calendar and my vacation time and stuff at work, and I realized that I have 2 personal days that if I don't use them by the end of the year, they're going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, you got to use those.
Yeah,
things.
So, and I was thinking about this upcoming Thanksgiving holiday that was last weekend for builders, and I said, man, that 4-day weekend is shot. I got no free time. So I'm taking Friday of this week, Friday the 4th and Monday the 7th off of work.
Nice.
Just because I'm awesome. Going to lose my other 4-day weekend.
Good
so
for you.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's great.
Do it. Yeah.
And luckily my boss is a nice guy and he didn't care.
He's a pretty good dude.
Yeah.
So I'm a little nervous about Thanksgiving because my son has this book called Turkey Trouble. And any parents out there who maybe have this book for their kids, if you don't have this book for your kids, the book is really cute. Don't buy it for them. because the whole book is about a turkey trying to avoid being eaten for Thanksgiving dinner. And then it ends with him delivering a pizza. And so they eat pizza on Thanksgiving dinner instead of a turkey.
So
Josiah keeps asking if we're going to have pizza for Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving Day pizza.
Yeah. So we're going to have some sort of pizza that my wife can make for him in case he throws a fit because he really thinks we need to eat pizza. So we're still going to deep fry the crap out of a turkey. But anyways, there's that. So
Wow. Well, okay.
Yeah. A little nervous about that.
You know what? I like pizza.
Me too.
I like pizza. I would be totally okay eating pizza on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I like me some turkey, but
let's see if anyone gets this reference.
Okay.
If you get this reference, I'll feel better about myself.
Will I know this reference?
You will not know this reference.
No, okay. All right.
So we'll be eating pizza like the Quartermains always get stuck eating pizza every year on Thanksgiving. So, yeah. So we'll see if anybody catches that reference.
The Court. Oh, boy. I don't know that one.
It's a really cruddy TV show reference from back in the day. So,
okay.
See if anyone.
All right.
It still actually could be a reference. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see if anybody says anything about that.
All right. Yeah. I'm totally.
You're not going to win a prize or anything. You'll just have to feel bad about yourself like I do for knowing that reference. Yeah. So,
okay. Boy. Yeah. I got a total blank on that.
Speaking
one.
Of TV, by the way, you said you weren't a big fan of The Flash. That show is fantastic. You're an idiot.
Really? How
it's
far in
so
are you?
So good. Like 12 episodes. It is so good.
Because, man, episode 2 was garbage.
Here's the thing. That the show makes zero apologies for the fact that it is a comic book. Like, the show is a comic book, right? They didn't even try and pretend that it's not.
Uh-huh.
So, like, all of the comic book tropes continually happen,
mm-hmm.
and they make fun of themselves for it. Like, the one guy, like, names the villains. Like, he's like, I'm thinking of this for the villain. What do you think? Like, this is a good name, you know? And, like, one of the villains, like, tells him, he's like, you can call me blah, blah, blah. He's like, hey, I come up with the villain names around here. And he's like, but that's actually pretty good. I think we're going to keep that. Like, so it's so good.
So the whole show is going, comic book, funny, right?
It's good, dude. It's really good.
That sounds
also. They have Jesse L. Martin is the main police officer. And he, I'll tell you what, that guy, like, he was in Rent. He was in Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is way too good of an actor for that show. Like, he does this thing where it always looks like he might cry. Like, would you really believe he might cry?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe he's just got, like, some watering eye issues. But, like, he's a really good actor. And I can't understand why he's on that show.
No business being there.
But, because, a lot of the villains and stuff on the show are just terrible. But in a good way. Like, I'm loving the show. Like, okay. To the point where I'm actually going to watch Arrow. I know.
What?
I know.
Dude, don't fall into
this,
that.
This is why.
Don't fall into that.
Because they keep having the Arrow characters on.
Uh-huh. Arrow's bad.
I know.
It's really, like, I gave that most of the whole first season. I was like, no. Let me try. And it was, that show is terrible.
I'm going to try it.
It's bad.
It'll be a while, though, because I'm watching still The Flash, and then Jessica Jones comes out this week. So.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, well,
Thursday.
Yeah,
or Friday. At 3
by the time
this
episode airs, I'm sure we will have both watched the whole thing already.
Yeah, but it's only probably like 12 episodes or something.
I don't know, but yeah,
I'm gonna watch it all.
The trailers look fantastic for that.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
So that's that. That's pretty sweet.
Flash. All right, I'll try one more episode of The Flash.
I would try two more episodes.
So get to episode 4.
They also like things that like you would expect to happen, like a season into a show where like suddenly like, oh, that's that and that's that. Whoa. Like happened by like the 5th episode. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They're just like, they just throw. So that's like, I'm a huge fan of world building and mythology, right?
Yeah.
That's why I really liked the first couple seasons of Lost, because that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
But like what Lost took 2 or 3 seasons to build, these guys built in like 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They're just like, here's the mythology. Just eat it. Like they just throw it at you. Just throw more at you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, I really like it. I mean, it is what it is. It's not like amazing television. It should not win an Emmy or anything, but, the effects are decent though. Like the effects are better than I would have expected for a television show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, every show has that dude run like crazy.
Yeah.
And they usually have some supervillain that can do something crazy.
Sure.
So
it's, yeah, like, so, like, I think back to Smallville, right? And I watched all of Smallville. Actually, I never did watch the last season. I just, for whatever reason, never did that. But, so, like, Smallville was a show I started watching, I think, in season 5. And I was like, man, this show's really good. Holy cow, this show's really good. I gotta go back and start it from the beginning. And, like, I knew that starting in season 8, like, season 5 is great. Everything after that's pretty good. And season 1 is okay. Season 3 is one of the worst television shows in history. And it to the point where I was like, I made a horrible mistake. Oh God. Oh, I made a horrible mistake watching this. How could I possibly have gotten this? I'm invested and I don't, like I was this close to quitting, even knowing that I already knew the show got better.
You still really wanted to quit?
And I still wanted, but I'm glad I saw it through because Smallville was pretty good. It was pretty good. And that's the thing. I think The Flash, like maybe if I started in season 3, I think they're only on season 2 right now, but maybe if I started in season 3, I'd feel different. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like you should give it another chance. I mean, you may not like it, but I'm really excited because like episode 13 is coming up, and that's the one where Grodd comes out.
Okay.
Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah.
Like for instance, they spoil Gorilla Grodd in the first episode.
Yeah, I did see that.
Like, hey guys, FYI, there's going to be a large animated gorilla in this. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And normally I'm really annoyed about shows where all the people get the powers from the same source. Like, that's one of the things I never liked about Smallville.
They're all meteor freaks.
Oh, they're all meteor freaks. And in this, it's all because in the first episode, the particle reactor blows up. And
super lightning, whatever.
But everybody gets hit by it, right? Or a lot of people get hit by it. So that's where all your crazy creeps come from. Yeah. But, yeah, I just, that doesn't bother me in this show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well. Whatever. All right. I'll try two more. I'll get through the end of episode 4 before I give up on it.
Yeah.
And if it hasn't grabbed me by then.
Then stop watching it, by all means. I mean, don't watch it on my account. I think it's great. I've been watching 2 episodes a night and I've been loving it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I was hoping that would be the next show that I get into, but it didn't get me. So I'll try it again. Because I don't have anything I'm watching right now.
I also still really, really strongly suggest you watch The Blacklist.
Yeah.
Give it a couple episodes, 5 episodes of that show, and you'll never want to stop watching it because James Spader is the man.
Yeah.
He's so great in that show.
Yeah.
Usually when I say you should watch this show, it's really good, most of the time you end up agreeing with me, just to be clear.
You know, I'm not saying you have bad taste.
I understand we like different things, but I usually won't tell you to watch a show if I don't think you'll like it.
That's true, yeah.
Like, I watched The Walking Dead. I would never tell you to watch that show because you won't like it.
Everyone else won't shut up about telling me to watch that show.
See, I know you well enough to know.
Meanwhile, everyone that I hear talking about that show seems to be always really pissed off about it.
The headline of
including
the last,
my wife, by the way, she loves that show and she's always pissed off about it.
It's because it's this is what happened with recently watching this show. Like, I found that everything is just so predictable, right? Like, everything is so predictable, and something really big happened and main character might have died, and I'm willing to bet $1 million that they didn't. I said that on the podcast. I didn't actually bet the money with anyone in case I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. That show, I'll never stop watching it because I love the comics so much, and it's a good show. It's just, it could be so much better if they just didn't have to do stupid stuff to make it not better.
Yeah.
So, and they just cast like a new villain on the show. It's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who played the comedian.
I'm so sick of that guy.
I love that guy.
I liked that guy until he was a freaking crazy ghost on whatchamacallit, Grey's Anatomy. And he was an interesting character for about 4 episodes when he was a real person. And then he became some nutcase's pretend ghost husband thing. And it was like, just, we don't care. We don't care. Go away. We don't care. And I'm done with that guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rob, big fan of Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy was good until they killed... Well, no. Grey's Anatomy was okay for a couple of seasons, and then it took a big, big drop in the toilet, and everyone said, stick it out. No, no, no. It gets better. And then George died. Spoilers. Sorry. George died, and it was double birds across the entire planet, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a terrible show. I still watch it because I will watch it. My wife likes it. I will watch it till the end.
Why?
I will watch it till it's done.
Why?
Because I've watched it for 10 seasons. I'm committed.
Oh, no, no. You know what? If shows do stupid things and kill off the only interesting characters on there, or if shows are just straight up bad, I have no problem giving up on them. You know what? I have better things to do with my time. There's something kind of oddly satisfying about giving up on a TV show in some cases when it really has done absolutely nothing to engender any kind of loyalty from me. Then I kind of get some kind of weird satisfaction from saying, fine, screw you, I'm done with you.
I will
no longer consume you.
I just feel like, hey, you've invested all this time, you might as well stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so let's move on.
A show like Breaking Bad where those characters are actually interesting and the time you invest pays off, then or Justified is fantastic, you know.
Yep.
Like, if it's a good show where the time that you invest pays off in interesting
even
ways,
even if there are lulls or bad parts in the end, overall it's still great.
Battlestar Galactica is that way. There are a couple seasons of BSG that were just really hard to get through, but it's worth it in the end. And
I've never
it has,
watched it, so.
It's a good show. I don't remember. There's a season and a half that's pretty rough, and I was this close to giving up on, but I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't.
All right.
But anyway,
good to know.
Sorry.
So anyways,
what are we doing here? Has it been an hour yet?
So we were going to talk tonight about, this came up, actually it came up cause it was on our list, but I was thinking about it previously because, on Facebook, I saw something recently. It was an advertisement for the mystery box company or something like that. And mystery something. And so I looked at it. I was like, what's this about? So you pay for this experience, right? You go to this company and you pay them. Think of like The Game, that movie The Game with Michael Douglas. It was really bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So think of that in
Thank
real life.
Thank you for saying this pretty bad because a lot of people love that movie.
No, it was terrible. So, So the idea that, like, you sign up for this company, and when you first sign up, it's an application, and they say, we don't accept everyone. I refuse to believe that, but whatever, adds a mystery, that's cool. So you answer the questions, right? And then, and they want to know things like your blood type and stuff, like weird stuff, right? I actually don't even know my blood type. I guess I call my doctor, I'm sick probably, but anyways, I'm probably not going to sign up for this because it's expensive. So, and I was like, how much does it cost? And like, we'll tell you once you get going, you'll have some options, right? But the whole idea of this, this thing is, you pay money and then they start sending you stuff in the mail, right?
Okay.
Like weird stuff, like a mystery, right? So it's like a mystery they're sending you. And it culminates in you getting like a classic wood-sided box shipped to you. Like, you know, like
crate,
Ark of the
like
Covenant.
Crate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like shipped to you, right? Maybe it says Fragile on the side. I don't know. Uh-huh. But, and then inside is like the culmination of this mystery you figured out, right?
Hmm.
And it could include phone calls and all sorts of crazy stuff, right? Now, so I'm really interested in this because this sounds like something really up my alley.
Yeah, it does.
So then I start Googling, how much does this cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the premiere package, like where you get to really, like you talk to the curator to begin with and they talk about your interests and your input and stuff and you can give as much input as you want, $799, right? So depending on the value of the stuff you get, maybe, I mean, I would never do it. It's too rich for my blood.
Do you get like cool things?
I don't know.
Or
I don't know. You get an experience though. Like, and if this experience was $800 and it played out over, say, 12 months and they sent you cool, tangible things and you had to solve a mystery, like, I feel like that's worth the price of admission. I'm not going to pay that much. I don't have that much money to pay, but some of them started as low as like $150, right?
Mm-hmm.
For like this simple stuff. They just send you envelopes and stuff like that. But I'm still very intrigued by the idea. Like, I really like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me thinking about alternate reality games, because that's what that is, right?
Yeah,
it's a game that pushes the bounds of reality to what's real and what's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been used by a lot of different things. One of the things that used it most effectively was the TV show Lost. They actually ran an alternate reality game during the first, second, and third seasons, I think, where they really were pushing the limits of what was real and what wasn't.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's things like having real websites out there for things mentioned on the show and having possible spoilers you can figure out by researching things, right?
So isn't this like just viral marketing stuff?
Well, it is. I mean, that's kind of the point.
Kind of the point, right?
Alternate reality games generally are done for viral marketing. That's what I think is so cool about this is you're buying into an alternate reality game, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not...
it's not used as an advertisement for some of the product.
Right.
It's just...
It's the product.
It's its own thing.
That is the product, okay. Right? It's very escape roomy, right? Mm-hmm. Like escape rooms have become an escape room. I would say to a point is an alternate reality game, right? It's like a cross between a role playing game and an alternate reality game. It's honestly kind of like LARP, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Sure.
An escape room is kind of like LARP. So I think it's really cool.
There was a computer game that came out 10 years ago or something that was sort of the same kind of thing. I don't remember what it was called now, but it was something where you buy the game for $60 and you install it on your computer and then you log it, you register with it and give them your name and address and phone number and stuff. And they would send you stuff in the mail and they would send you text messages and make phone calls to you in the middle of the night and that kind of stuff. And it would all kind of tie back in with stuff that you do in the video game. Through a website, and it was a big thing, and they were all excited about it, and it like didn't go anywhere because nobody bought the game. I think they would email all kinds of weird stuff about trying to build this narrative around this sort of semi-real thing. I don't know. it tanked horribly. It's an interesting idea, though.
I think there are some things we could take from that, right?
Yeah. Okay, like what?
Well, first of all, it's immersive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, so the idea of something like a game like an escape room or this mystery box company or whatever it's called, that is, it's immersive. I mean, the way you get things, and it feels real, right? Which triggers those things in your brain that turn up the excitement, right? Because it feels real. The other positive thing I would say is, if for somebody who's a big fan of world building like I am, it extends that world and blurs the lines of what's reality and not reality, right? So those are two positive things that I really like about it. As for how that could work with board, well, tell me if you have anything to say on that. I'd like to kind of do an exercise with this one.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Go for it with your exercise. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I've had this idea for a board game for quite a while now. And actually was saving this. There's another topic I was saving this for, and maybe I'll still touch on it then, but I'm going to bring it up now because I think it really fits. I wanted to design a game, and the best name I had at the time was Reality. Like, Reality question mark was kind of the name of the game, right? So the idea was, you got a good group of friends together who was willing to play like a legacy style game, right?
Yeah.
And this game, the idea was, things happen in the game on the board, right? But things also happen in real life that tie into the game. And your job is to deduce which narratives are which, right? Which one is happening in the game, which one is happening in real life. Like, so actions that are being taken, like the action says something is going to, this is going to happen, like do this, right? And so the response comes back where a player, like you, that would be the end of the session, right? The next time you come together to play, the players would be talking about what happened, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's your job as another player to deduce which things they actually went out and did and which things are just part of the narrative of the game, right? So the idea of really blurring the lines of that board game and the reality that surrounds the board game of your group of friends, right? That's as far as I got with it. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, let's talk about that a little bit, right? Like, what are ways, I like the idea of the computer, right? Like that we could have an app and I could sign into that app. Oh man, I really like that idea. There's like an app we all sign up for, right? Mm-hmm. As a group, we go into this legacy style game as an app, right? And put our info and now we're linked and now we're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to, oh man, dude, imagine this, right? You give the phone permission to like send messages to one another through this app.
Okay.
And you also communicate only through this app during that time. Like, that's the promise of the game, right? So if I only way I communicate with you via my mobile device is through using this. So we don't use text messages. We only use this program, right?
Okay.
But the program also has the ability to post for me and to send messages for me to the people who are playing this game, right? Just to the people who are playing the game. So it's not creepy, right? So it starts to skew, like, what are we actually talking about? What's actually happening? Like, if it starts to look through your things and like, oh, Rob and Jason tend to meet at Burdick's to do stuff. So then it's sending you like, hey, Rob, meet me at Burdick's, right? Right, which is the restaurant around here.
Mm-hmm.
So it really starts to kind of blur the lines of, you know, and so it says that to you, right? But then it also says it to Dave, our friend, who's not our friend. I don't even know somebody named Dave.
Pretend Dave.
And now pretend Dave and Rob are meeting at this place. And like, what's going on? Like, what are you? And they're like, oh, it's the game doing it to us. So why? So they check in there on the app and now the game starts giving them, it's making them be partners. It's allying them for this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the game is playing you while you're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really like that. It sounds impossible to do, but I really like that.
So I think the biggest problem with this game idea is that it's not a casual game.
No. That's the thing. It would be a real life adventure game for people who wanted to do something crazy, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty high barrier for entry, if you ask me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's why I think an app would be good, because the app could be smart enough to scrape data off your phone, make judgment calls about locations you go to.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you imagine in the middle of the night getting a message from this thing. It's like, dude, I'm outside your house. Let me in. And there's no one there. It could really mess with your mind.
But it'd be too easy for you to just say, that's just that game. I'm going to ignore that. I don't know. See, I'm not the kind of person who would be into that game, and so I'm having trouble getting
I'll be honest, I'm the type of person that would play that game, but I would be frightened the entire time. I'm nervous just thinking about the fact that the game might tell me someone's at my door. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't click for me. That's not something that I find even a little bit interesting.
It's all right. I mean, you have bad taste. We've already went through that, so. But no, so that's...
Yes, you could do that. And you could I'm sure, make an app send text messages for you. Not through the app, but just send text messages.
Well, but see, that's people would be concerned about privacy and stuff with that. And that's valid. So, I mean, I think that if you're willing to participate in an immersive game like this, you're willing to say, Rob, I'm only going to send you messages through this app for the next 6 months while we play this game, right? I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Middle of the night, your phone goes off. You hear ding dong. It sounds like your doorbell, right?
Uh-huh.
And the message, I'm at your door. But it wasn't your doorbell. It was just your phone, but you were half asleep, so you don't realize it.
Uh-huh.
How crazy would that be?
Well, I would leave my phone on silent, probably.
See, this is why you'd be the worst at playing this game.
Yeah, and I sleep pretty soundly, so I probably wouldn't be woken up. But even if my phone wasn't on silent, I typically leave it on silent all the time. And I sleep through just about everything.
So builders. Anybody out there is cool like me?
I don't know. I'm the wrong audience for this idea, man.
No, that's okay. So builders out there, what do you think of this idea? Is it terrible? I mean, I'm not going to do it because I don't have the skill set. But like, what do you think? Like, is that type of immersive game viable? Like, what's your opinion? Is it viable? Is it stupid? Is it the best thing you've ever heard? Is it somewhere in the middle?
And so this mystery box company it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
That seems silly. It seems really silly.
You wouldn't want to like get stuff in the mail and solve puzzles and stuff?
Well, that's like that loot crate kind of stuff, right?
Well, yeah, but that's like, this is a story, Rob. It's a story.
Yeah, I don't know. I have video games and books to read and movies to watch. I don't know, man. I'm sorry. It's just not my thing.
You are not fun.
I'm fun in different ways.
I doubt it. I've hung out with you before. I don't think so. I got to disagree with that. Anyways, let's move on. I'll pitch a game.
All right, yeah, do that.
You big deadbeat.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
You pretty much ruin everyone's fun all the time, so it's not like I'm surprised. I'm just kidding. You do ruin my fun a lot, though.
Well, I see you a lot. So.
It's true. It is true. And I try to have fun a lot, and you ruin it a lot. Okay, so I wanted to design a game that involved designing a game. So I got some.
That sounds pretty digital, man.
It's so digital. It's so digital. It's on my phone right now. I'm looking at it. I can't think of names for games anymore. So this is called the River Crossing Game because you're trying to cross a river, and that's my Rob Couch name for this game.
That's right. That sounds like the kind of name I would pick.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so. The goal of this game is you have a team of people, of characters in the game. Your goal is to get them from one side of this river to the other. So let's talk a little bit about how that works. Well, you've got 24 tiles, 2x2 tiles, right? Those tiles are divided into four squares, right? Like so four even squares, okay?
Okay.
And each one of those squares either has land or water on it, okay? In general, most of them would have one or two pieces of land, so you could have like two next to each other, so it counts as one, right? But most of the time, they would never have more than 50% land. There would be a couple that would have a huge chunk of land, and there would be a couple that would have no land at all water, right? So you randomly, they could be double-sided to give you more gameplay replayability.
Okay.
But the idea is you take those and then you lay them out four up and six wide.
Be 4x8 for 24. No, sorry, it'll be 4x6.
4x6. 4x6. So with each space being a thing, that means that there would actually be that's only 8 spaces. No, I think it's got to be 4x6, right?
Yeah.
That's
4x6
is
24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the 6 would be the width of the river you had to get across. The 4 would be kind of the other. So I think, no, that'd be... Am I doing the math bad on that? 4 times 2 is 8. So no, I want it to be more than 8 squares to get across. So yeah, it would be 6 deep, basically, to do you have to cross 6 deep? Because then you're talking about 12 squares. No. 6 times 2 is 12, yeah. The math is basically falling apart on this now.
Okay.
So anyways, I'm going to describe the game. It might need more tiles. Might need more tiles to be thicker. The idea is you basically have a river and there's little islands in the river, right?
Yeah. So the whole stretch here of tiles laid out is the river.
Yep. Okay. It's the river across and you're trying to get across it, right?
Okay.
Maybe I could call this the River Mighty. That title's free, so.
Yeah.
Okay. The rest of the components are 12 bridges, which are chipboard pieces that are long and thin.
Okay.
There's short, medium, and long. There's equal amount of each, so 4 of each.
Okay.
The short ones are the equivalent of one tile, right? So 2 spaces with a little overlay on each edge, right?
Okay.
Two spaces effectively on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Medium is 3 spaces, so a tile and a half. And then long, as you guessed it, 2 full tiles, so 4 spaces.
Okay.
So the idea of the game is you're just trying to get across. Oh, and the other component is 12 character standees, right?
Okay.
12 unique characters. Beginning of the game, you set up the tiles, and then everybody gets randomly dealt 3 characters.
Okay.
Each character is different. Each character has a move speed, mm-hmm. which varies from 2 to 6, with there only being 1 2 and only 1 6, and all the rest are in the middle of 3, 4, and 5. Okay.
Okay.
And there's equal of each of those. And then each character has a unique way they can move or affect the game. So a variable player power. It doesn't cost anything to use. It's just passive. It's always mm-hmm. happening with them.
Okay.
Right. And the idea being that on your turn, you can lay a bridge tile and then you can move one of your characters, right? So obviously you're trying to make bridges between the islands is mm-hmm. probably what you'd guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a whole pile of bridges right off to the side.
Yeah.
But once that pile is gone, then you can start picking up a bridge that's already there, putting it somewhere else,
okay.
and laying it back down. But if there's an option, if there's a short one, but you need a long one, it doesn't matter. As long as there's an option, that's what you have to use that's out there, right? So if there's only one bridge out there, that's the bridge you're using that turn.
Okay.
So sometimes you maybe just be throwing bridges out there to try and strip the pile down so that you can start stealing from other players what they've put out there.
Okay.
When it comes to placing bridges, you can place a bridge as long as both ends touch land.
Okay.
And as long as it crosses one water space. So you can't just put a bridge across land. It's got to be touching at least one water space. Okay.
Okay.
You can remove if you remove a bridge tile to use it, you can't do that if someone is standing on it.
Sure.
Okay. And there can never be more than one player, one character on a bridge at the same time because it won't support 2 people.
Okay.
Okay. On your turn, you can either play a bridge and you move. You can do that in either order, it doesn't matter. So that's the game. That's okay. how the game works, right?
So you're taking turns, you're placing or moving bridges and moving your characters and occasionally using their special powers as needed.
Yep.
To adjust placement of things. Now, what's the win condition?
Get all of your characters, be the first one to get all 3 of your characters to the other side, right? Right?
Now, can you only pick up a bridge if your character is adjacent to it or something? Or you can you can steal a bridge from anywhere.
You can steal a bridge from anywhere.
Okay.
So, and then here is what the characters can do. And this really affects the game.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cause I think that's the missing piece here.
Right. So, otherwise the movement, everybody can do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Based on the characters is going to change how you're trying to win. Mm-hmm. Basically. There is Biff. He can move 3, and opponent's characters cannot enter a tile that he's occupying. Right. So he can stand on a tile. You can't touch it. There's Jenna. She can move 3. When she moves, you may also move another character 1 space. So if you move her, you can bump one of the other characters 1 space in any direction.
Okay.
Cooper can move 4, and he can jump over a water space as part of his move.
Hmm.
So if there's a 1 water space gap, he can just hop over that without needing a bridge. There's Marge. Marge moves 4, and after she crosses a bridge, she can choose to remove the board. Right. So if say someone's following her, she can choose to remove the board, or she can be doing that to stock the pile so you can't steal her boards if she mm-hmm. needs them. Right. There's Davey. He can only move 3, but he can swim across 2 water spaces as part of his move.
Mm.
There's Sally. She can move 5. If you don't move any characters this turn, you can place 2 bridges instead. That's her. So if she's one of your characters, you can choose to move no characters and put two bridges down. Mm-hmm. There's Joey. You know, there's got to be a Joey. These are a bunch of dorky people, I guess. I don't know. Move four. Bridges that are touching the tile he's occupying cannot be removed. So if he's in a place, there's bridges touching it, you can't steal those bridges, even if no one's on there. Mm-hmm. There's Meg. She can move four. She can walk on a bridge that a team member is occupying, one of her team members. Bruce can move five. If you choose to move him back two spaces, move him backwards two spaces, you can add a plus one to another character's move. So say I have somebody who can move five, I move him back two, I can actually move them six. Hmm. Donna can only move two, but crossing bridges does not count towards her total move. Doug can move three, and he can turn a tile that he's occupying 180 degrees.
Doug is the man.
Yeah, so that's really good.
Yeah.
And then Patty can move six.
Whoa.
But she cannot end her move on a bridge. She always has to fully cross a bridge. So she can move the most. Six is the highest. Mm-hmm. So there's the characters. So you can see kind of, hopefully, how they would affect the gameplay and kind of affect your strategy for how you're trying, like,
sure.
This person can follow the other person on the bridge. I should send them together. And it's random how you get the characters. Uh-huh. So the interaction between those characters should be different.
Yeah.
This very well could be a game that, as like talked about last week, could use one more thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what that one thing is yet. So this is just kind of what I'm going with now. So any thoughts, questions?
I'm not sure.
Does it all make sense?
Yeah. So every tile it's a single tile, but it has four squares on it.
Yep.
Yeah. And, So, okay. And so every tile then of those four squares, it could be, is there ever going to be a square where all four squares are land or all four squares are water?
Yes. If there were 24 tiles, I don't think there'll be 24. Actually, right now I'm thinking 25 might make more sense. You could just do a 5x5 square and there's your river crossing.
Okay.
And actually what would be really interesting about that is in a 4-player game, everyone could start from their side of the board and just be trying to cross to the opposite side. So you'd have a lot of crisscross and a lot of people getting in the way. I actually really like that. I would do that.
Try and commandeer each other's bridges and things.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But like, it would be hard because that's actually, I really like that because then you're not following each other either. So like you go first, you place a bridge. No, I just follow you. You know, that's lame.
Right.
So, okay. So say 5x5. So if it was 5x5, probably three of the 25 would be all land, and maybe five of the 25 would be all water.
Okay.
And so that's eight. So that's not great. Let's make it 10. Let's say the seven would be all water and three would be all land. And then of the other 15, it would be like 10 of them would be one, would have one thing on them.
Mm-hmm. Variables rest, one, two,
yeah,
and three.
One, two, and three. Yeah. The other 15 would be one, two, and three. Because I want it to have a lot of gaps, right? That's the idea.
Oh, sure. Like, well, yeah, if you don't have a bunch of gaps, really then, yeah, what are you doing?
And the other rule I didn't say, but it should be fairly obvious, you can't end your move in water. So dude who can swim, the Davy guy who can swim across two things, he has to still end on land. Mm-hmm. So he could step into two gaps of water, he has to stop on land. Mm-hmm. But what's cool about him is you could just ignore bridges for him if you found the right pathway, right?
Mm-hmm. So there could, theoretically, there could be some tiles where you have two squares on your tile that are both land, and those two pieces of land are joined, but it could also be where there are two separate chunks of land.
Yep.
With water in between.
Yep. And you couldn't move diagonal, right?
You cannot. Okay.
What do you think?
I think if you can lay a bridge diagonally across two islands.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. You can move diagonal. Done.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's kind of thing where I'd need to see it in action. I would need to see.
Right.
I mean, the first thing would be you'd have to make your tiles, and you'd have to lay them out on the table and look at them and think about moving pieces around on them. You know, so I think it's kind of thing where you just kind of have to. I mean, it's a fine idea.
Visually, I think it could be really cool looking to see, like, that block, and you're just trying to get across it.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of, you know, like trying it and see how it works, I guess. Maybe that's the kind of thing where using a digital tabletop thing might be a good idea, just to push some pieces around. It'd be pretty digital.
That's true. Pretty digital. One thing is, so artwork for this game would be pretty cool because, like, you just draw a few pieces of land, some water, and you're pretty much you're set, except for the characters, right?
Mm-hmm, right?
The bridges would all look the same.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of them as just like wooden planks? Or,
wooden planks. Yeah.
Right, the kind of thing that a character could theoretically pick up and move.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And the only reason I didn't have it be that you had to be on a thing to touching it to move it is because that game could take forever then. Because you'd have people keep getting stranded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
you would,
oh, now the gap is too big. I can't use this thing here. So,
right.
But I do like the idea of a two-player game. We're going opposite directions. And in a four-player game, we're all crossing in different directions. I think that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would allow a lot of hosing each other.
Sure.
12 bridges, by the way, may be too much. 9 might be better. 3, 3, and 3. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly for a two-player game, you might only use 3, 3, and 3, or even 2, 2, and 2. And then for a three-player game, use 3, 3, and 3. And a four-player game, use 4, 4, and 4.
Yeah, right. It's kind of thing. You just kind of see how it goes. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Because obviously, by having less bridges, it forces more interaction, right?
Right.
But it also increases the chance that you can't do anything on your turn because
somebody's standing on a bridge, yeah.
Because every bridge someone's standing on, you know?
Right.
Because obviously, it's kind of smart to like leave yourself standing on a bridge to hose someone if you want to use that bridge the next turn,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Because you move and then you flip the bridge around. And
right.
So.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. No, that's a fine idea. Yeah, so, I'd be happy to see it in action.
It's different. I want to try some all tiles, no cards, chipboard and card, you know, cardboard, chipboard.
Moving pieces, yeah. I get that totally, 100%.
And it's a perfect information game.
Yep.
So,
which is good.
I rarely design, so right. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, cool. All right. So the randomness then is how you lay out the board.
But, I mean, after the game setup, it's a perfect information game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can see everything that's out there.
Right.
And there's no randomness in the game at all.
Right.
So... Which I think is okay for a game like that because
sure.
It's about
yeah.
screwing other people over
absolutely.
And trying to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So, yeah. Right on.
Cool.
Good stuff. Any new comments or anything for tonight? Nope.
Negative.
Burned them all last time. Okay, very good. Then we're good, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. So do the things that you do, like we always say. Call us, 770-TEL-BTG. Email us, buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. Go to the website, buildinggamepodcast.com. Twitter, @podcastBTG, @JASlingerland, @Poli_design. 5-star reviews on the things. Buy our games through the websites. And tweet at us with #BTGRumors and tell lies that we will all laugh at. And you know the drill.
Don't forget the holiday special sale price for Water Balloon Watch Out. $20 for 2 copies, no shipping.
That's
an insane deal.
It
makes a really good stocking stuffer.
He's slashing prices, and I don't know. He's mad. He's mad Jason, who is slashing prices on Water Balloon
Watch Out. Crazy slashing prices.
That's what I was hoping for, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga.
Hot
yoga.
It's the hottest.
Hot digital yoga.
Oh man.
It's so hot. It's so digital. It's yoga.
It's digital hot yoga. The yoga is digital.
But the hot is real.